Good morning. Who are you? I'm serious. It's a serious question. Who are you? In every Christian, there is a warfare in the mind to define who they are. Satan tries to define us as merely human, without power or strength or worth or ability. The Holy Spirit seeks to define us as supernatural beings, saints imparted with aspects of the supernatural to bring power and strength and worth and ability. Who are you? If you thought you were a kangaroo, how would you act? If you thought you were a garbage pail, how would you act? It's important we think rightly about ourselves, that we allow the Holy Spirit to define who we are and not Satan. I have heard of people, in the physical sense, they have had full body MRIs. They laid their body on the table, and the MRI revealed their true physical identity, the true reality about themselves. Could I ask you this morning to lay yourself on the table of God's word, to allow his word and the spirit to identify who you are and what your worth is? We can see four things about the supernatural in you. The title of our message is The Supernatural Christian. First, you are supernatural in your calling. That is who you are. Think of this. Before the world was formed, God knew you and planned to save you. Ephesians 1, 3 to 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Picture the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit knowing you personally even before the world was created. And then when you were born and came of age, he pursued you, he sought you, and you repented, and in faith you turned to him, and you became a son and daughter of God. 1 John 3, verse 1, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed on us, that we should be called the, what? Sons of God. Which statement is truer? I am the son of Marvin Mummer, and Joanne and Mary are my sisters, or I am a son of God, and Jesus is my brother. They are both equally true. And why do we with ease see an earthly father, yet fail to recognize that in Christ we are sons and daughters of God? It's a fact that Christ is in me. It's a fact that God sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ in me. It's a fact that the divine blood of Jesus Christ cleanses me from sin. It's a fact that I will inherit the kingdom. It's a fact for me, and it's a fact for you. The Word of God, his MRI, shows it. And Satan wants you to view yourself as spiritual orphans, as worthless in God's sight, as being so sinful you can never see God. I beg of you, see the supernatural in you. See the supernatural in your calling. Another aspect, as we want to look at in relationship to your identity, you are supernatural in the indwelling of the Spirit. That is who you are. 2 Corinthians 6, 16. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Do you catch the supernatural? You are the temple of God. I will dwell in them and walk in them. When you were born again, the Holy Spirit took residence in your body. The supernatural made his abode with you. Now think of how that they, when they could not touch the Ark of the Covenant in the Old Testament, because it was so awesome, because God's presence was in the Ark. Yet God, through the Holy Spirit, dwells in every Christian. 1 Corinthians 3:16-17. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy. You have a tenant, the Holy Spirit, but he is also your landlord. He came to abide in you, but he also wants to take control of his dwelling. What a blessing. I am not a descendant of an ape. I am not a product of evolution. I am not a product of chance. I am not a nameless speck among the billions of stars in the universe. No, I am a son of God. I am possessed by the Holy Spirit. God in me and working in me and through me. You have worth in the work of Christ in you. Is that how you view yourself? Is that the image in your mind of your identity? The supernatural Christian by virtue of their calling. The supernatural Christian by virtue of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Thirdly, when we look at your identity, who you are, we see that you are the hands of Christ. You are part of Christ's body. Romans 12, verse 4 to 8. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or teaching, or exhorting, or giving, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. One body in Christ. As I look out over this audience, I see a great diversity. There's a diversity in income, diversity in occupation, diversity in appearance, diversity in age. Yet in all this diversity, you have in common, you are part of the spiritual body of Christ. Some are his arms, some are his legs. He has supernaturally given you different gifts to minister to the body. 1 Corinthians 12:27. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. You are spiritually the arms and legs of Christ. I read of a disease called dystomy. With dystomy, your hands might move without your wanting it to. Your legs might jerk and twist and contort themselves. Your body moves about on its own accord. There is no connection between the brain and the movement of the body. Before you were in Christ, you had spiritual dystomy. There was no connection between your actions and the desire of Christ. But when you were born again, you were connected to the head. You were no longer independent from him. You no longer do things on your own because you are his body and he controls his arms and he controls his legs. That is who you are. Don't believe a lie. Some of you might feel spiritually like you have dystomy. You might view yourself as being independent of Christ. You might feel like you're not part of this body, that your movements are not controlled by him. Don't believe the lie. Those who have been supernaturally called, those who have been supernaturally indwelt by the Holy Spirit, you are members of Christ's body. You are his and he controls you. You have worth in connection with him. Don't Don't go by feelings. Don't go by emotions. Scripture says you are part of the body of Christ. Fourthly, who are you? You are divinely called and equipped to serve. If I asked you to raise your hand if you felt inadequate to serve, my guess is that most of you would raise your hand. You would say, humanly, I can't do what it takes. I never know the right things to say. Ray, how can I serve others when humanly I myself have so many weaknesses? Well, if you're talking about your human strength and wisdoms, we are inadequate. But we are not talking of our human ability. We are talking of who we are supernaturally in Christ. Humanly, we are inferior in service. We are like a carpenter without a hammer. We are like a mechanic without a lug wrench. You're like a cook without a stove. But in Christ, we have the total resources of Christ at our disposal. It's not our strength, our power, our ability. It's all about Him using His tools in our body to glorify Himself. There are four key scriptures that illuminate your supernatural calling and power to service. Key scripture number one, Ephesians 2 verse 10, and I want to read this. This is a fascinating verse. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Now that's fascinating enough there. But then it goes on. Which God hath before ordained that we should walk in that. Look at the words, created in Christ unto good works. When you were born again, when supernaturally you were changed, God designed you to serve. He gave you gifts. He gave you vision. He gave you power and desire. He made you with a plan. Also look at the phrase, before ordained that we should walk in them. Before the creation of the world, God had ordained that we should serve Him. And it doesn't matter if you're 15 or 30, 45, or even 101, or anywhere in between. The design of your service actually goes back a couple thousand years before God had created the world. Also, it says we are His workmanship. Workmanship means product. When you serve, it's not by chance. It's a product of God's design for your life. The iPhone and the iPad are a product of who? In the back. Apple, right? Well, you are a product of God's design. Isn't that amazing? Key verse number two, Philippians 1, verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Do you get what he is saying? Not only does God design you, did God design you as a product to serve, He will also help you to perform it. He will help enact today what He designed in your life before the creation of the world. For example, a car has a lot of design in it, doesn't it? But it needs to perform. A chainsaw has a lot of design in it, but it needs to cut down trees. You were designed to serve, but you need to perform, to act. And God will supernaturally supply the power for your actions. He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Key verse number three, 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound in every good work. Notice the completeness of his supernatural equipping of you to serve. All grace, always. All sufficiency in all things, so that you may abound in every good work. There is no area of service that his grace is almost enough. There is no area of service that you will find his power insufficient. All grace, all sufficiency, in all things, in every good work. I'm sure many of you were driving your car down the road, and you looked down at your gas gauge and thought, is the gas I have sufficient to get me to where I want to go? The car was designed years ago. It performs well. But now, will it be sufficient to finish, to get me where I'm going? For us as Christians, the gas gauge is always full in our divine service. He will always give grace. He will always be there with us, supplying the ability and the power, all grace, all sufficiency in all things. Key verse number 4, Ephesians 3, verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Notice the phrase, the power that worketh in us. His supernatural power is working in you to serve. It's interesting, worketh is a Greek word, energeo. It means to be active, efficient. The saint who is designed by God to serve is energeo. He is given the power of God, his divine strength, to fulfill the task. You see, any car that God designs and builds, he puts the gas in. Sufficient gas, highest efficient energy from above. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. I know in the past, probably a lot of you, especially when you were young, did a lot of dreaming, thinking about what you could be. As a youth, maybe you dreamed of someday being an astronaut. Perhaps you dreamed of owning a large business and having your own jet. Perhaps you dreamed of visiting countries far away. But it was only thought, not reality. Well, in Christ, in his power, as you serve him, he will take you past what you can even think or dream of. Exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Not only will he give you power to do what you ask, not only will he give you power to do what you think, if it's according to his will, he will give you power above your wildest thought or dream. Isn't that awesome? Designed to serve. Equipped to serve, given the energy to serve. That is you. That is who you are. Are you ready for some straight talk? First of all, I need to give some straight talk to those of you who are passive and do nothing. You see a need, you're concerned, but you take no action. You talk about our youth who are going astray, but you do nothing. You criticize the lack of visitation and hospitality in our congregation, but you do nothing. You won't help with teaching. You refuse to help prepare food for funeral meals. Refuse to bake for the brethren home. refuse to visit the sick and elderly. You refuse to visit those who are going spiritually astray. Refuse to witness for Christ. Refuse to help with the fruit baskets we give out at Christmas. I ask you, how can you refuse to serve when you were created in Christ Jesus for good works? How can you refuse when God supernaturally equipped you with the energy to serve far above your wildest dreams? I know why. You believe a lie. You believe the image that Satan has painted. You see yourself as human, as weak, inferior, and you don't see the truth of your high calling in Christ Jesus. I encourage you, cast down the lie. Lay claim to the truth, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound in every good work. Secondly, I need to give some straight talk to the doubting and fearful. Those who doubt their ability to serve and fear they will be a failure if they try. I can't write a note of encouragement. I'm no good at that. I can't go visit the elderly and sick and discouraged. Well, I just don't know what to say. I can't teach. I'm no good in front of people. I can't have opening devotions before Sunday school. I'd mess things up. I can't help out with the sewing circle. I'm just not talented enough. I can't counsel people. I can't think fast enough. I can't help that elderly sister that needs her grass mowed. I probably wouldn't do it good enough. Am I talking to you? Am I talking to you? Do you view yourselves through the lens of your humanity instead of seeing the supernatural enabling and empowering you? I want you to think about this. Each of us is in awe of the empty tomb. Is that correct? You're in awe at the empty tomb. He is alive. But the reality is, Christ is living in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The Spirit of God resides, of Christ resides in the believer's body. But has your body become a tomb for Christ? Has your body become a tomb for Christ? Dead people don't move. Dead people don't serve. Dead people aren't active. Christ is alive in you. He arose from the grave, and he resides in your body, and he wants to use you for his glory. But has he been reburied in your body? Has Christ entered our hearts, and we rolled the stone back in place? Are we holding him prisoner with our lack of action? Is the Spirit of Christ within you crying out, take me to the youth who are going astray. Take me to the discouraged. Take me to the brother or sister who has financial need. Take me to Alaska. Take me to the sick and lonely. And then we say to Christ, Christ, I can't. I don't have the ability. I'm just not good with people. And Christ says, just go. I am in you. Just go. I will talk for you. I will walk with you. I will give you the power to serve. You see, supernatural grace is never passive. It is always active. It is always seeking out the needs in the body and those around us. If only our eyes could be open to who we are in Christ. Ephesians 1, verse 18 to 20. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance is the saint, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. That same power that raised Christ from the dead wants to work in your body. Think of it. There were changes in the women after they saw that the Lord was risen. There was changes in the disciples after they saw that the Lord was risen. There was changes in the whole Roman Empire and the whole world after Christ was risen. Brothers and sisters, if Christ is in your body, there will be changes. You will be active in pursuit of the work of the kingdom of God. The thought came to me about a firefighter. You know, firefighters don't, he doesn't trust himself in his service. Rather, he depends on his fireproof suit. He depends on his oxygen tank. He needs the water hose. He trusts his fellow firefighters to support him. And as a Christian, it's okay not to trust ourselves. And we shouldn't trust ourselves. But we must trust our equipment. As a believer, it's never you who serves, it's Christ in you. You trust his strength and his power and his wisdom and his enabling. We all agree of ourselves, we cannot do God's will. But Christ in us makes us more than conquerors. A fascinating account in 2 Kings 6. You might remember this. The king of Syria surrounded the prophet Elisha. He surrounded the city with intent to kill Elisha. The servant of Elisha was doubting and fearful. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, the host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, "Alas, my master, how shall we do? Elisha, humanly, we can't do this. Elisha, humanly, we can't have victory. They have so many weapons. We are outnumbered. We are too little. We are too weak. We are worthless to fight this battle." And he answered, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened his eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire around Elisha. His eyes were open. He saw the supernatural. No longer was he doubting and fearful. Wow. What a difference when we recognize the supernatural. Away goes the fear. Away goes the doubting. Open your spiritual eyes. Quit doubting. Recognize the Spirit of Christ within you, enabling you and empowering you. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The Apostle Paul gave us the answer to who he thought he was in the scripture Brother Steve read. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10. Paul identified himself. He said, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am." God's grace, his power, defined what Paul thought of himself. Who am I? Well, Paul said, "It's all about God in me. But by the grace of God, I am what I am." But he continued in verse 10, the second part. "And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all." It was not in vain. Paul said? He said, I, Paul, allowed Christ to live in me. But my body was not a tomb. It was not a prison for Christ. Rather, my body was used to preach and to teach and to encourage and to disciple and to heal and to write letters. His grace was not in vain in me. The last part of verse 10. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. It wasn't me that did anything special, Paul is saying. It was Christ. Brothers and sisters, will you recognize your true identity? If you're doing nothing, will you quit doing nothing? If you're doubting, will you quit doubting? If you're fearful, will you quit being fearful? Will you recognize the supernatural in you? Let Jesus Christ out of prison. Free Christ from the tomb of your body. Get active. Roll the stone away from your heart. Release Christ in your life and serve him with confidence. In closing, I'd like to share a vision I have for each of you. I was wondering if you would be willing to make some commitments to serve through Jesus Christ. I wrote down some commitments, and I'd like to ask you to each please consider at least one, two, or possibly even three of these commitments. Through Christ in me, I commit to do visitation. Through Christ in me, I commit to pursue the youth and others who have gone spiritually astray. Through Christ in me, I commit to write letters of encouragement. Through Christ in me, I commit to meeting the physical needs of this congregation. Through Christ in me, I commit to showing hospitality. Will you let Christ out of prison? Will you let him use your body to serve? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Thank you.